unto him, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. This is Gideon's view. He didn't, you know, he was told about the Lord. But he's asking the angels, where did all the miracles go? But it happened when they fell away. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He's looking down upon himself. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Then he put out the fleece. The Lord showed that he was with him. And he did these things. But looking at judging from culture, you're wondering, why did these things go wrong? You can't judge things by culture. You got to look at the Lord. Okay, let's continue. We'll just do a part two. And today is December the 2nd, by the way. December the 2nd, 2021 still. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose a fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. He had to deal with culture, another culture problem. In backslidden culture, they said if you see an angel, you'll die. That wasn't true. So the Lord had to show him. A lot of fables got, misnomers got taught as truth. And it happens in our modern times as well. A lot of times people believe things is not true, and they preach it as truth, and people receive it as truth. Because again, once the leader is swayed, getting fear, getting compromised, the people, they go right on with him, and just like the trees blowing in the wind, they all sway the same way. Now, I'm not picking on leaders, but I'm saying this. If fear gets on the leader, if a leader say something and it's not true, people eat it up like soup. They can't judge that it's wrong. That's why but this is also true. If you keep looking to Jesus, if you follow God, you're going to have a pure reference. So when darkness is taught as truth, you'll see it for what it is. And it'll be notable. I said earlier that when you talk about following God, it's ambiguous to people. They don't know what's going to happen if they follow God. Now, these are the things that happened in my life. As I looked to the Lord and followed him, the Lord prepared me for whatever was next. When the problems that he was using me to help solve, I didn't understand them. The Lord once asked me, Do you see what I see? I said, Lord, I don't see anything wrong. I didn't hear the pastor say anything wrong. And he kept dealing with me about the need to follow God. I used to wonder why wouldn't somebody follow God anyway? And I didn't understand. I thought that my assignment was going to be for a little while, and I would go on to something else. Because God was In my personal life, he was teaching me all kind of truths. Once I began to dialogue with him, he would talk to me about things all day. Because I drew near to him, he drew near to me. He told me how to draw near to him. He had me to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 at night, 5 in the middle of the day, 5 at night. So I did that. And then he started dialoguing with me and teaching me things. And see, to the pure, everybody's pure. I thought other people were doing the same thing. They were hearing from God. They were receiving messages. I thought it was easy for them, just like it was easy for me. They were hearing, but also controlling what they did. Sometimes people listen for what they want, for what's important to them. But the things that I didn't have a comparison for a while, but when the Lord started teaching me how things work, how to overcome, how to, he prepared me for every assignment, then I was able to, I saw the need for it, but I didn't see the need for it until he told me. Well, that wasn't happening for the pastors that didn't follow God. The Lord always prepared me for the very next step. Always. He prepared me for the next event, the next phase of ministry. And he taught me how to resist the enemy, all kind of things about fighting. He taught me, as I began to receive knowledge from him, I could compare what he was saying not only with what people were teaching, but what they were not teaching and why. Then I began to see what he was talking about. Now, I expected all of the pastors to run with what I was saying, because it gave them a glimpse. When I would write those words, it gave them a glimpse of what would happen if they obeyed God, and a glimpse of what would happen if they did it the way that they were doing, if they didn't follow God. I said, surely they're going to follow God, but they didn't. Now, when I came, I would have a dream about where to go. God would give me the word at home. I would get to the church. They'll be preaching it. And my pastor said, the Lord, you know, they knew you were coming. And I believe they did know I was coming. See, if God deal with you about somebody, then they come, they show up, and they give you the word of wisdom. That means God is in it. The word that I wrote at home, they're preaching it on Sunday. Part of it was in, you could compare them. It was the same kind of, it was identical to that message in most cases, if not every case, even the spoken words. But see, the written words was proof. I wrote that off site. And they know I didn't write it in church because they didn't see me writing. If a new guy come in church, you can tell if he's writing or not. I wasn't writing. So if you have a reference, you don't ignore that. But if you follow God, he will prepare you for the next glory. So what happens is, if you don't build with him, you scatter. And things go to failure. The Lord dealt with Gideon and helped him grow. You know, the Lord works with us. Many things get by us. Or once you taught something, you taught it. But see, when the Lord is talking, you have a, if you're in the light and you hear something that's not true, you know it. If you study the word enough, you're going to get familiar with the character of God, his ways, what makes him happy, what blesses his soul. You start getting to know it. And when somebody says something out of sorts, you go, that's not true. Now, false representations cause people to preach and teach misnomers as if they heard it from the Holy Ghost himself. See, when people get bold, if their pastor said it, or if the bishop said it, or anybody that was a blessing to them, that's of God. But when you're in the Lord's presence, and you receive the word as it is. See, I love to read people's books. I write too. And I love the people that draw near to the Lord. He draw near to them. They preach under the anointing. I've been blessed, and the Lord backed up many books that I've read of others. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. Kenneth Hagin, Fuchsia Pickett. I just mentioned Jonathan Kahn. I got books by Steve Quayle. And the reason I know their truth is because I spent years studying chapters. See, I used to study scriptures and outline notes that I would get from church. But the Lord told me to start studying chapters, 15 chapters a day. And that gave me enough light so that when the Lord would speak, I would have a reference of truth. The 15 chapters a day gave me more than just a few scriptures here and there. It actually put the scriptures in their proper context. And it gave me a bigger picture. It gave me more vision. Another thing happened. I was telling a friend of mine, Odie, yesterday how when I would go in the Lord's presence and praise and worship, and he would draw near to me, I couldn't compose myself to ask the question thoughts that I had before. I would forget it and fall out. But after studying those 15 chapters every day, and after about 3 months, it could have happened before that, but one day I was worshiping the Lord, and I sensed his presence like I used to, but I didn't fall out. Not that falling out is wrong, but I had the strength to stand there and ask the questions that I had prepared to ask him next time I was notably in his presence. Now, God is always with us, but what happened was my young mind, my Pentecostal mind, I said, Lord, don't go nowhere. And when I noticed his presence, I got questions I want to ask. That's how I handled it. See, God can reveal his presence and conceal his presence, even though he's always with you. But that's how I put it. And I knew that, but the way it was more real to me, I said, Lord, don't go anywhere. I got questions. And I asked him my question, and he answered me. Now, stamina happened, vision happened. Also, when the Lord had to help me make corrections in my theology, he had a better reference to work with. See, the Holy Spirit takes what you put in. It's like one preacher said, you got to put something in to get something out. You put the word in your heart, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you to it. He'll put the puzzle together for you and give it back to you so it'll make sense to you. And it'll be in its proper context. And it won't be a misnomer anymore. But the good part is he'll teach you and prepare you for what's ahead because you're doing his work. I didn't call myself to the ministry. He called me to the ministry. This is his ministry I'm doing at his order. So I got to do it his way, not my way. And when he give me insights and knowledge, it's for the body. It's for people out there that will receive it. And people that won't receive it, they won't receive it. And they're going to have more problems because when the Lord visits them with greater knowledge, they rejected it. And a lot of people are not bearing fruit because they keep rejecting what the Lord is doing because they don't have a reference for what is new to them. See, you got to look at, if you was watching Jesus, you would have received it and you would have moved along without problem. But a lot of people are stuck. Their anointing has been in a stalemate for decades, and they don't understand how to go forward. When in 1992 and 93 and 94, I didn't see a problem, but after he started sending me out in 91, in 92 I began to understand we got a problem. In 93, I said, "Yep, I was right. We got a problem." In 94, I said, "We got a huge problem." In 99, I was searching for somebody that would obey him. And I thought I could find one. Now, here's why I say all this. When you spend time in his presence, you can compare the truth from dressed up lies. That's the easiest way I know to put it. But see, when you're deceived, when you think you're right and you're not, you can't tell unless you gain more light or if somebody with more light comes along. And then you're going to start noticing differences. And the way people respond to it, that can be positive or negative. That happened to King Saul when David came around. He couldn't be that light. He knew that God fired him and hired a neighbor that's better than him, and he was much younger. That provoked Saul's pride, and he tried a javelin, David. He threw a javelin at the man of God, the real man of God, while he was living in a fallen state. And he depended on the real man of God to build him up. David played on that harp. That was the only time Saul had a reference for peace. He had no peace. There is no peace to the wicked. So when people get in pride, they have no peace. But the solution is to get in the light, to be receptive. And it's all right if somebody do something better. I would rather repent And let somebody else take the lead than to try to prove that I'm something that I'm not in a fallen state. And Saul never repented. He died. He fell on his own sword and begged an Amalekite of all people to kill him, so that the king of the Philistines wouldn't make fun of him, which he did anyway. Everything he feared happened against him. That's what witchcraft would do for you. That's what seeking a witch would do. See, what you trust is what you act on. He went to a witch to seek the prophet Samuel. Now, let's see, God cleared up some misnomers for Gideon. In verse 22 again, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." He picked up a misnomer along the way. Then Gideon built an altar, therefore, unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet an offer of the Bizrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock," where everybody could see it, I suppose, "in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. See, wisdom, he was a man of valor. He used wisdom. He didn't need to pick a fight. He needed to show them that God is in control of this and not Baal. Verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who had done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Now, these are the same people. They just heard the prophet tell them how they did when they went astray. They're in exile, basically. They're living in the caves and strongholds. They can't plow their land, and their enemies are surrounding them without number. And they're still trying to worry about a darn altar of Baal. But I love verse 30. Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal." And because he has cut down the grove that was by, I love verse 31, not 30. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself. I love verse 31. Because one has cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Now watch this. See, don't expect God to do something mighty with wickedness in the midst. That's the point. The stoutness of the men of verse 30. Don't expect a move of God when you think like when you think just like the devil. When you're deceived or seduced or in agreement with the enemy, God is not going to move in that midst. But after you get yourself right, after you get your mind right, after you get your heart right, now you can expect God to move on your behalf because you have agreement. Now watch verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Ebiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And he came, and they came up to meet them. See, remember, Gideon is a mighty man of valor. Now, he's doing things according to God's heart. And Gideon said unto the Lord, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool upon in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. See, he had to. I made a broadcast, a radio broadcast yesterday, and I made the distinction between Ahaz and Gideon. God told Ahaz to ask in the heights above or in hell below concerning Jesus, concerning Emmanuel. But he said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. But over here, Gideon, he's put out a fleece. Remember, he didn't have the Old and New Testament yet. He had parts of the Old Testament. And he was taught superstition in a way. But he was wise when he asked the Lord. He said, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, let it be dry upon the earth beside. Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. He wanted a reference. He wanted assurance. Nothing wrong with that. He wanted to believe God because he knew that it was fixing to get rough. And he was surrounded by people that didn't have belief and man was afraid. Okay, now verse 30. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust a fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto the Lord, unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. Now watch this. Now God works with us. When you don't know everything, God will work with you, and he can get a point over to you. When I asked the Lord, He would give me visions and concepts, not words, to help me have a reference. Or he'd give me a vision and explain it in a few words. And I had a reference point. That's what he did for Gideon. And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God will work with you. The Lord taught me to love his people in 1987. From spring of 87 throughout, all the way to spring of 88, he taught me how to love people. All kind of wonderful concepts of love. And this was back when I used to read scriptures only. I rarely read chapters. But in 1988, I wanted him to teach me how to conquer temptations and lust problems. And I wanted to do it biblically. I knew that if I had yielded to that crap, the enemy would kill me. But that's not why. I wanted to know how to live, and I wanted to honor God with my life, all of my life. I didn't want to have part of my mind separated into the world. See, you bring everything you got into the kingdom of God. You don't leave nothing in the world. And I said, Lord, how do I handle this problem? A friend of mine was upset with me that day, but I loved him. I was like, God trained me. I loved him, and I didn't get upset. I didn't get upset with him. I loved him with that agape love of God when he was frustrated with me. And so I said, well, Lord, how do I handle this problem? And he showed me a vision of earlier that day. He said, you handle it the same way. I didn't know how to put it in words until a few years ago. What he was showing me is, if you love somebody the way Jesus loved you with the agape love of God, you cannot lust after them. If you love somebody with the agape love of God, if they are upset with you, you have the ability to be long-suffering and have love towards them. If a hungry man steals from you, you're not going to throw a rock at him. You're going to give him food. If you have the agape love of God in you, you overcome any kind of challenge with that. The love has strength in it. In other words, the women that's trying to tempt you away from your wife, you have to love them like Jesus loved you. And they don't have power to tempt you anymore. See, when you receive the problem is, you don't hear something like this over no pulpit. People will dance around that because it's not popular to talk about, but it's a problem. They just say, don't look at pornography or whatever. But people are not learning how to stand because they're not spending time with the Lord. The Lord worked with Gideon to build him up. That's what's going to happen when you follow God. He's going to prepare you for not just anything, not just a few things, but for everything. You will be well equipped not to fall. It's not hard. And it's a whole lot easier to understand. Well, see, the wisdom that's from above is first pure and gentle, and it's easy to be entreated. Easy to receive. And then it builds your life up. And it allows you to make biblical choices. And see, the new birth enable your light to shine anyway. Now, you have more wisdom and knowledge and counsel to work with. And men, it gives people hope when they see. Men need to see men loving God and loving their families and enjoying their families and doing what's right. And not talking about partying and superficial foolishness, getting drunk and acting stupid. Real men need to see other men loving God. And guess what? It works. When men see other men loving God, they're provoked to love God as well. That's why it only would have taken ten men to secure Sodom and Gomorrah from being turned to glass with fire and brimstone. God had to rain fire and brimstone down on it because they were seduced by evil. Consider these things, because the Lord's return is imminent. And he loves his people, and he's coming back quickly. The time we had, we don't have anymore. The Lord has warned. He has raised up people to warn people correctly. And people wouldn't repent. It's not God's fault. When he take his people off the earth, everything that's listed to happen will happen. But those that were wise will live forever, and those that were foolish will be damned. And that's not necessary, but God will have survivors. And the thing about all the people that stayed in covenant with God and survived Great Tribulation, they were sincere people. Not one sincere person will be lost, and not one leavened person will enter the kingdom of God. Consider these things. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in trust in the Lord. Stay in covenant.